Coming up on today's show.
Then he's like, well, who would you like to work with if I could, you know, get you a feature? And I'm like, that's a tough question, you know? So I'm like, Lil Wayne, he's the GOAT.
Welcome to another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment, featuring interviews with guests who are having success in entertainment, primarily music. I am Bruce Wozniak, talking to guests who are singers, songwriters, musicians, recording artists, and more from the worldwide music community. Get in touch with me by writing to podcast@nhte.net, or instead of email, you can DM me through the @NowHearThisEntertainment Instagram account. Remember, too, that there is now yet another option for interaction with this show that I described each of the last 2 weeks and will be telling you about again during today's episode. Joining me today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New Jersey, my guest is a songwriter, recording artist, and actor, as well as being a voting member of the Recording Academy, who on Instagram alone has almost 900,000 followers. On the music side, he has charted in the Billboard Top 40, the iTunes Top 200 Dance Charts, and Top 100 Charts, and had 3 Grammy considerations. He has one song that features Lil Wayne, and he did a pop dance record with a former member of Destiny's Child. He attended the Grammy Awards in Los Angeles in February and will be at CMA Fest in Nashville next month. On the acting side, he is a SAG-AFTRA member, and his acting resume includes films such as Fate of the Furious, Pitch Perfect 3, and Wonder Woman 1984, and TV work such as The Vampire Diaries, NYPD Blue, and more. You've been hearing a song of his called Party Life. Welcome to Now Hear This Entertainment, Lucky Harmon.
Hey, good evening. How are you doing today?
Great. Thank you for making time to be on the show.
Appreciate it.
You bet. Let's get started by having you first tell the audience all about the song of yours that was just playing called Party Life.
Oh, Party Life. So that's a single that the concept I came up with, I was actually in Atlanta, Georgia at the time. And I was, you know, at a hotel sitting by the pool. And it's kind of funny because Miley Cyrus's Party in the USA came on the radio. And then I just stopped listening to it for a second. I'm like, And this producer, you know, sent me a beat. And when he sent me this beat, me and him got into the studio and we just started writing the hook and everything like that. And I'm like, party life. What does everybody want to do? You know, live life, party, and have a good time. You know what I mean? So I got inspired by, you know, Party in the USA. It was the summer. And yeah, we came up with Party Life. So it was really unique to, you know, feel that vibe in the summertime by the pool because everybody was, you know, drinking and enjoying the summer. And, you know, dancing. So I was like very inspired by that, you know?
I'm interested to hear more though when you say that Miley Cyrus's song inspired you, because I have heard songwriters who have said that they can't try to write a song with the radio playing, with music playing. If something is on, they need to turn it off because they don't want to accidentally end up writing something that it turns out is exactly what they're just listening to. So it sounds like you're saying that you maybe just kind of got the inspiration from it and then walked away and did your own thing. Am I right?
Correct. Yes. It was just, I heard it and it was summertime and the vibes and the energy. And then like I was listening to the track itself and it just gave me the inspiration.
Now talk to us about, you said that you had a beat sent to you. And what I'm picturing is a lot of guests who will come on this show and they'll say, I've got some things in my phone, some voice notes that I've saved. I never really knew where I was going to go with it, and it finally fit in. Is this the same thing where someone had sent you this beat and you thought, okay, I like it, but I need to develop something around it. It's not going to be an immediate knee-jerk reaction. Or was it, oh, no, Bruce, I thought of that beat as soon as I got the idea for Party Life?
Well, the beat was sent to me. And I came up with the hook and I started writing to it in the studio and it moved me. And then everybody would start, you know, was in a dancing vibe in the studio. And I'm like, this is wild, you know? So we came up with Party Life.
There are going to be people who come to this episode of Now Hear This Entertainment because they are fans, followers of yours, Lucky. And to those folks, I say hello, thank you, welcome. Do please check out other episodes of the podcast. But Lucky, for the rest of the audience, the people who are just being introduced to you for the first time, take us back to your early years, meaning how and when did you get started into music as well as into acting?
I started doing music since my childhood, really. I was about 8 years old, 9 years old. I was playing a guitar, and I started writing songs at a young age. Elementary school, middle school, high school. I went to vocal ensemble. I was in that. I went to show choir camps of America. That gave me a lot of stage presence. I also went and did, like, shows up the East and West Coast. Did a lot of talent shows, opened for a lot of different artists here and there. And I was always the one at a younger age that just really took this serious. I also sung the national anthem for the WWF back in high school.
Wow.
I would love to pop that footage up sometime and put it on social media so people can see, like,
wow,
what I've really done. I did a lot of solos and chorus as well on stage with other groups and stuff like that, but mainly I was a solo artist. And music's always been a part of my life because my Uncle Chucky played guitar with B.B. King in Las Vegas.
Whoa.
I wasn't even born yet. I found that out. And then my dad went to Peabody Conservatory for music. So music is kind of really in my blood. Everybody else was more like the instrument of the family, but I'm the vocals of the family and the songwriter, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, you know, pertaining to the acting, it's funny how I got into the acting because I did do drama in high school. I really didn't take up any drama courses in like college or anything like that, but I had a music manager, and when the music manager, you know, passed away, I didn't know, you know, how I'm going to continue my music career. Mm. You know, that was in an early, early age in my career, right? So then I kind of like turned to acting, and I didn't really know anything about the acting, but I got in a music video just as like a, you know, an extra or whatever, and it was for an MTV music video. Well, the director liked me, and he was like, man, he's like, you follow direction well. It seems like you know what you're doing. Well, come to find out, that director was an actual movie star, TV star, by the name of Johnny Alonzo. So he got me connected to an agent, and then I signed to that agent. Then I started doing, you know, TV shows and commercials and stuff like that. And then it's really wild because when I went to the acting, guess what? The music came back to me. Mm. While I was living in Atlanta, Georgia, I was working on Furious 7, and I was doing some stunt work. Well, it's pretty wild because I was staying close to the movie set. I was probably about 15, 20 minutes away. And the hotel I was staying in, I actually got discovered by an A&R in the lobby, and they made me sing because I seen them, and I'm like, they're talking about music. They're like, you do music? I'm like, yeah, I do music. You know, I'm a singer-songwriter, and I'm an actor. And they said, well, sing something. And they made me, like, literally sing in front of everybody. But then after that, it's pretty cool because they introduced me to a multi-platinum music producer. And that music producer actually did Party Life, and he worked on some of the songs on my EP. He was by the name of Eric Parham, a.k.a. 88 Fingers. He's worked with everybody from Angie Stone to Soraya from Empire to Grand Hustle to Raheem Devon and New Edition. A lot of major legends that he's worked with and more. But that was pretty cool. But going back, I was working with Rufus Black, a.k.a. Rufus Moore. He did my very first EP, and we traveled all over to do this EP from Ohio to New York City. Different studios where we cut that, and I actually got discovered by him at a talent show, believe it or not, when I was traveling, you know, performing with no management at the time.
Mm.
And then I got management, right? So then he signed me to a production deal, and after that it goes back to, you know, in Atlanta when I got signed to a record label. I was under a label for 7 years.
Mm.
And that's when I charted top 40 on Billboard. And the song that was charting was called Idolize Me. And that record hit number 36. I was on Billboard next to, you know, Katy Perry, Justin Bieber, Zedd, Drake, Haley Steinfeld, Demi Lovato. I was on that Billboard chart for 8 weeks as an independent artist.
Mm.
I was under independent label at the time. And, you know, doing tours and promo runs, radio interviews and all that. That was a pretty good run because that song didn't have any features on it. It was just me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But again, the inspiration from the song came about making it into superstardom.
Mm.
When I wrote the record, Idolize Me, because a lot of people were like, Lucky, did you write that record being self-centered? And I was like, no, I did not. I wrote that record about, you know, coming into superstardom. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we shot the video in Miami for Idolize Me. And then the record blew up. It was a pretty big hit for a while.
Wow.
Yeah.
What a great story. What a great story, and very inspirational because of how much you talked about that a lot of this was just kind of done on your own and being in the right place at the right time. I say over and over and over that you have to put yourself out there. You can't just sit at home and wait to be discovered. You got to go out and shake hands and kiss babies, as they say in audience. As you're hearing, Lucky had himself in several positions to be seen, and ultimately the time that he put in paid off. And Lucky, I owe you an apology. I introduced you as a songwriter, recording artist, and actor. Not only do I need to add singer to that, but the fact of the matter is that you talked about playing guitar. Do you play much guitar? Is that what you write on? Do you play any piano? Do you write on piano?
I write on beats. I played guitar at a young age. I actually sold my guitar because, you know, I'm a father, I have kids. So I had like four or five guitars. I sold all my guitars. I haven't played guitar in a while. I mess around with it, but I don't currently play it at this moment. But I do make tracks. I do make beats, and I write to, you know, beats that are produced by producers. And I can co-produce as well. Like when I'm in the studio with a producer, if I hear an instrument, I can tell them, hey, I want this instrument here. And, you know, I'll sing a melody or whatever, and I'll have them put that on there because I can hear it in my head. I have that ability. You know, I have very good ears.
And there's something else that you mentioned, audience. I don't know if you picked up on it. I want to go back to when Lucky was talking about the acting work. I mentioned in the intro just some of the film and TV work, Lucky, that you have done. And audience, Lucky has been in numerous commercials too, such as Mountain Dew, MGM Grand Casinos, Golden Corral, and more. Lucky, is it simply a case of I'll go wherever the work is, or do you maybe tend to put a little more emphasis on one over the other, meaning acting versus music? And for that matter, how do you strike the balance so that you can avail yourself to opportunities in one or the other or both?
I mean, music is my first love and my passion.
Okay.
And I work very hard in music, but I also work very hard in acting. The two kind of go together because they're both entertainment business. It's a good question that you mentioned because a lot of musicians are actors and a lot of actors are musicians. So it kind of works like if the acting's slow, I'm doing the music. If the music's slow, I'm doing the acting. I mean, that, I guess that's how I can say that I balance them out. But I try to excel at them as much as I can with both. And I feel like music is way harder than acting. And I mean, they're both hard. I'm not saying that they're not. And the reason I state this is because music takes a lot of investing money, where acting takes a lot of investing time and talent. Music takes talent and time as well, but it costs a lot of money to do music without a label or without, you know, a solid investment firm. You know what I mean? Whereas acting, you know, you do your classes, you do your training, you know, you get your headshot. So yeah, there's some investment there, and you practice and you book auditions. If you book the auditions, then you get the part. Other times you get self-submissions, you know, through the acting sites, and you submit a headshot, you do a read, and you book the job, you know? So I feel like music's harder, I guess, on an aspect of finances, I should say. I mean, acting is very hard when it comes to ability, talent and ability, if that makes sense, because you might audition for 100 auditions and you only might book four. So you're like, wow, man, you get your hopes built up on all these auditions and you don't book but four. And you're like, you're really let down. But in the same aspect, you're learning. And to me, an audition in itself is a role. So it gives you the time to practice your best performance, you know what I mean? And book that job possibly. Nothing's guaranteed.
Yeah, these are all great answers. These are all great answers. So insightful because, audience, what you're hearing is, as Lucky says in his example, if you get 100 auditions and you only get four, then you're sitting around a lot. Whereas in music, you can knock on 100 music venue doors and they're not all going to say yes, but there's going to be someone that'll say, sure, how about next month on the third Saturday we've got an opening? There's going to be a lot more opportunities to go and perform music than there are auditions that are going to greenlight you. And then lucky, like you said, on the flip side, financially, if you want to do music, great, do it. But just remember, you got music that you're going to record, who's going to pay for the studio time? You want to make a music video, who's going to pay for the production? As opposed to you get into a film and there you go, someone else just paid for your video business card, so to speak. Now you need a reel that, you know, you may pay for a sizzle reel up front, but after that, it's just, well, here's a clip from something that I was in. So these are great examples that you're giving.
Absolutely. And it's very true. And I believe like a lot of artists or just people in the entertainment business in general that don't understand the business think that there's overnight success and there's no money involved. And that's false, because it takes at least 15 to 20 years to really make a mark in this business. And it takes a lot of investment time and a lot of investing money and sacrifice away from your family and traveling, because very few people make it in their hometown, and you have to go outside of your comfort zone and you have to go to places that you normally wouldn't go. And really, like, it's hard how, you know, when I first started out the business, I didn't know which direction I wanted to go as far as what area I wanted to be in. So I'm a hustler. I travel all over the place. I don't just stick in one place for music and acting. I mean, I could work in California, I work in New York, I work in Atlanta, I work in Miami. I work wherever I got to go, if that makes sense, to make it happen. You know what I mean? Because being in your hometown, it's not going to happen. It's just not. Yeah, it's very hard, and you got to be at the right place at the right time. And, you know, another thing I learned, you know, being in this industry over 20 years is networking is key. You got to know how to talk to people, and you got to know how to network.
Absolutely.
Because if you don't and you're just a mouse and you're quiet, you might not get to present yourself to the right person, or the right person might not hear you.
That's right.
So you got to be outgoing. And, you know, I've learned this through the years. And I mean, I've been doing it ever since. It's just, I'm a networker. I'm a go-getter. I don't stop. I don't quit. Even though I do get discouraged with music, I do get discouraged with acting, because it's a tough business. It's not for everybody, and it's not for weak people. I say that lightly, because you take a lot of no's to a yes, but in my vocabulary, the word no means just go harder. Mm. It just don't exist to me. It just does not exist. I just keep going. I'll fight for it where I want, and I go full force until I get it, you know? So it's really, I love the business, and I just want to keep rising and keep becoming great and be the best I can be.
And those who have listened to this show for a while know what a huge, huge advocate I am of networking. I talk about the importance of it a lot in the show. I write about the importance of it a lot in my weekly blog. And so Lucky is preaching to the choir, so to speak. But it helps audience for you to hear it from someone other than me. And you can tell that it's paid off for him. And, you know, I don't want to beat the dead horse here, but the whole idea of acting versus doing music, in music, you can say, I'm going to do my own music video, right? Because in acting, you can get turned down audition after audition after audition, and you say, I got to get something on tape here to show people that I'm working. In music, you can say, well, you know what? I'm just going to make my own music video, and I'll have something that I can put up on YouTube as soon as it's done. So there are definitely pros and cons of both. And of course, as you said, the common theme throughout both of them is you got to work awfully, awfully hard, because there's so many other people out there doing it. There's something that you touched on that I want to go back to when you talked about you were working in Atlanta for Fast and the Furious 7. However, you happen to be at the right place at the right time as it relates to your music. This does not come up a lot, but when I do have a guest on the show who does both music and acting, I like to ask, have you, besides that one you talked about, Lucky, in your case, have you ever gotten an acting opportunity out of something you were doing music-wise, or vice versa, gotten a music opportunity out of something that you were doing acting-wise?
Absolutely. That's why I said the two go together.
Yeah, I think it makes you more marketable because someone might be using you in a film or a TV show and they're looking for music and you speak up, right? Like you said, you can't be shy and quiet. And all of a sudden they go, oh, we didn't know you do music. And all of a sudden now you're getting to wear both hats and showcase that talent.
Absolutely. With getting, you know, your song in a commercial or, you know, singing on a program or someone asking you, hey, you know, do you do soundtracks, you know, sync placements, license, you know, all that stuff. Oh. And the two do go together. Like I said, if you look at a lot of actors, some of them were musicians or vice versa. Like, for instance, Nicki Minaj wanted to be an actress and instead she's a, you know, a singer and a rapper, you know.
Hmm.
So it's just like it determines on the talent itself what they do. But a lot of them are. And look at Johnny Depp. He does rock and roll music and he's also a brilliant wild actor, you know?
Yeah, Kevin Bacon, too, is another one.
Yep, Kevin Bacon. Justin Timberlake, he's another big one, you know? Pop artist, and he's an actor. He's been in a lot of movies, he did a lot of TV work. And, like, it's really about versatility as well. I'm very versatile. I can do both.
I mentioned in the intro that you are a voting member of the Recording Academy and that you are at the Grammys in February in Los Angeles. Tell us all about your experience at that event.
Oh, man, it was so surreal. I've been to the Grammys before, but unlike this one, I literally brought the storm to L.A. because I came up from the East Coast and the storm hit L.A. The streets were flooding. My driver had to circle the building like three times because the water was deep and they kept redirecting us around the building to go. My suit got soaked. My shoes got soaked. Mm. I brought my DJ with me as my plus one and it was crazy because we got there late. The weather was really bad. I thought it was really going to be canceled because it was El Nino in L.A. And I've never seen it like that. Like, I'm talking like 80-mile-an-hour winds, rain, hail, streets flooding, mudslides, really crazy. But going to the Grammys was awesome, very legendary. Seen a lot of major other entertainers as well. And brushing shoulders with the right people, connected with a lot of major producers, a new producer that I'm going to be working with very soon. So I'm excited for that. Jay Beats, legendary producer that, you know, produced Nicki Minaj, believe it or not, and Travis Scott.
Wow.
And he wants to produce some stuff for Lucky Harmon. So I'm like, this is great. I went to the after party and great time. And some of the entertainers that won the awards, I actually voted. So I'm like, this is amazing. Again, Miley Cyrus, she won an award. And it's funny because we could speak of this now. I was actually on the same poll for Record of the Year with my song, Wild Card. And like, this is wild, man. So that was cool. Good vibes, good energy. Had an amazing time at the Grammys. I didn't want the night to end. It went so good. Mm. You know what I mean? It was a great time. And the after party from the red carpet, just everything was just well organized. It was very professional, as it always is. And, you know, I talked to the CEO of the Grammys for a little bit. And it's just a great time, man. I'm blessed to be there. I'm grateful to be a voting member of the Grammys and the Recording Academy. And, you know, it's what I do. I love being a part of the entertainment business where I have a clear vision of other entertainers and I can acknowledge them, you know, vote them to hopefully get them an award and hopefully I'll win some awards as well soon, you know?
Yeah, let's hope so. Let's hope so. And audience, speaking of actors who do music, if you never heard it, I'm going to put a link on the show page for Lucky's episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Go back to episode 428. It was my interview with Chris Polonus. And he talked about Jeff Bridges, another one that does music. And he basically said, Jeff Bridges is like my best friend, but he also talks about the work that they've done together musically. And Chris had a lot of cool things to say on that interview. So follow that link or wherever you listen to the show, navigate back to episode 428 to hear me talk to Chris Polonus. Lucky, I only teased this in the intro. So talk more about next month when you will be in Nashville for CMA Fest and all that you'll be doing there.
Oh, that's going to be awesome. So I'm going to be in Nashville June 6th through June 9th, and I'm performing at the CMA Fest pre-party and after parties. It's going to be awesome because I'm coming back out on the stage performing and my DJ is going to be there as well. I'm going to be at Nashville Underground on June 6th, Nashville Underground on June 7th, and then on June 8th, I'm going to be at the Doghouse Saloon, which is High Notes, which is a cannabis bar and lounge for all the cannabis lovers out there. That's going to be pretty epic. So I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm going to meet a lot of fans, hopefully do some meet and greets. I'm going to bring some merch with me as well. And it's just, you know, just have a good time while the CMA Fest is going on, like, you know, while the people are coming in and out and stuff like that. It's going to be great. I just can't wait to perform in Nashville. I've been to Nashville before for shooting films, but I've actually never performed in Nashville. So I'm excited about this because going back to Elvis Presley days and Justin Timberlake days, you know, they really got their roots from Tennessee. So I want to feel what it feels like to be on the Tennessee roots. Mm. Hopefully, you know, get out there and visit Graceland. A friend of mine is actually Priscilla's son. Nava is a good person. So, like, Elvis Presley really inspired me a lot, as well as, I said, Justin Timberlake. So it's really cool to just feel them roots and just grab a new fan base and audience, you know?
No doubt.
I'm very excited.
I love it. I'm joined today on the Now Hear This Entertainment guest line from New Jersey by singer, songwriter, recording artist, and actor Lucky Harmon. Visit his official website at therealluckyharmon.com. I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. He is all over social media, Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and TikTok. Plus, on the acting side, look for him on IMDb. Purchase downloads of Lucky's original music from Apple Music and other online digital music retailers. Do give him a follow on Spotify as well. If you are or will be in Nashville, as you just heard him say, June 6th through the 9th, he will be at CMA Fest. Keep up with him online so you can get all those details, when, where, and how you can go meet him during those dates at that event in Music City. I do hope that you are a regular listener of this show and, as a result, have heard me talk about this the last 2 weeks, but just in case, or even if you are, it does not hurt for me to reinforce this. There is a new free method of engagement with me in this show. In fact, I did this last week, but I did not say it during that interview with Muriel Anderson. I am even starting a new habit of putting a link right in the episode description every week so that whatever platform you listen to this podcast through, you can tap to go over to what is called Featured Up. Again, there is no cost to use this. It's a landing page where you can type in questions to me, comments about this or any episode of the podcast, or there is even a feature so that instead of writing to me through there with feedback, you can send me audio. I believe it's up to 60 seconds that you can record through that platform. Again, there will be a link right in the episode description, or if you're used to always just going to the show website, nhte.net, then look for the Featured Up logo there and click that to go over to my page on their site. Lucky, you are in New Jersey. You have spent time in Atlanta. You're going to be in Nashville next month. We heard about you being in Los Angeles in February. What is the likelihood that we see you make a permanent move at some point to LA, New York, or Nashville, or who knows, maybe even Las Vegas?
I'm glad you mentioned Las Vegas because I've been thinking about a permanent move to Vegas in the future, but I have to see what Nashville's like as well. Mm. Really, I want to move somewhere to where is it benefits me as an artist. And I mean, LA, I've stayed in Burbank before. I lived out there before, but I think Vegas might be the spot. I'm thinking because music entertainment is literally 24/7 there. There's casinos, there's always festivals there, there's always concerts there. So I think it's going to happen within the next few years. I think it depends on where my career takes me, because it's taken me places, you know, it's taken me places.
And I'm a little biased. I threw Vegas in there because I'm just such a big fan of Las Vegas. And I'm the one that always says that I'm sorry, New York, but I really feel that Las Vegas is the real city that never sleeps. And there is so, so, so much entertainment there, whether it's the performances on the stages outside downtown on Fremont Street, whether it's all the hotels and showrooms and casinos, there's so much entertainment there. And people are doing music off the strip, and I'm talking about either at other venues or they're just writing and recording original music. So there's no shortage of opportunities there. And lucky, I would not be surprised to be rooting for you if you ended up in Las Vegas. I'm going to be rooting for you, period. I should say I'd be rooting for you even more.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And the fact that you mentioned Vegas also, well, I have family that's from Vegas. And also, not to mention, Mark Wahlberg built a movie studio there. Hint, hint. Ah. So there's some big acting opportunities there. And he moved out of L.A. So that just breaks more bread for, you know, film industry. And I think that's probably where I'll end up. It's just a matter of time, you know? Like I said, it's where my career is going to take me. But I've been circling around Vegas for a while now. And I've really been thinking, like, is it the spot for me, you know? Because everybody is in L.A. L.A. is always overpriced. I love L.A. as well, but I've been thinking about Vegas for some time now.
Well, and I thought it was fascinating how many people left L.A. and went to Vegas. So that in itself tells you something.
Mm-hmm. And it's lively, like you said, it's lively. There's a lot of music venues and performances there. And, you know, at the end of the day, I could get a residency one day like Elvis did or like Usher did, get a residency there and just be performing. Britney Spears even did
that's
it too.
Right.
So, I mean,
that's right.
Sky's the limit, man. And the money is there. And that's a market I'm trying to push. That's a market I'm trying to push with doing some shows. So hopefully within the next 3 to 6 months, I'll be doing some shows out there as well.
I mentioned this back in the intro. Tell us all about your experience working with former Destiny's Child member Farrah Franklin. When was that? How did you get the opportunity? Give us all the details.
I was actually signed under my label, and we was in Atlanta, Georgia, and we did a song called Build Me Up, and it was basically a record about building each other up, because there's just, you know, a lot of negativity in the world, and we need more positivity, and we need people to build each other up, or just build up the economy as well. So, like, we shot the video and everything. We did the record. It was a cool record. It was a great experience. She's very talented, all good vibes and good energy, you know? The studio session was cool. We cut the record in one of my favorite places in Atlanta to make music is Tree Sound Studios. It's inside a tree. It's my favorite studio ever in Atlanta to cut music. The engineers were very on point, and Farrah was, at the time, I think she was going through like a cold or something, and I remember me and her talking in the kitchen and she was getting some tea, but her voice is just beautiful, you know, when she delivered. I'm like, wow, like really an R&B legend, you know?
Well, and I love that you included the fact that you and she were physically there together, because I remember way back, this is also a little more than 2 years ago, on episode 419, I talked to Bill Champlin, who was with the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame band Chicago. I believe he was with them for 28 years. And I just randomly brought up to Bill about a song that he had done with Patti LaBelle years and years and years ago. And he said, we were nowhere near each other. We completely recorded our parts separately. He said, and I didn't finally meet her until a few years later.
But you know what? You make a hit how you make a hit, whether you're in the studio or not. But it's nothing like being in the studio with the artist. It's so surreal when you have two celebrities together in the studio making a, you know, a big hit record, you know, and it's a good feeling, just the energy and how you can learn from each other, you know, vocally and knowledge in the music industry as well, you know?
Yeah. And there's also something to be said for just kind of having that vibe of being right there with the person that you're creating this song with, as opposed to I'm going to give it my all, I'm going to do my best, and my part is going to be fantastic, but I just don't really kind of have anything with the other person to play off of.
Well, that's where you got to have your versatility as the artist, as an entertainer, and I have that, you know. You got to have that, because you don't know, as the artist, you know, you could work with another artist and they might just be not available at the time, or they could be sick and, you know, they laid their part when they could lay their part. So that's something I've adapted to over the years, especially nowadays, like with the era we're in now, like everything is so remote. You know what I mean? It's more remote because a lot of things change because, you know, when COVID hit and everything, yeah. It just wasn't the same. You know what I mean? It's everything's remote. All the acting auditions are self-tape. You used to go in person and do auditions. A lot of that has changed, you know?
You are currently working on a new single. What details can you reveal at this time as far as, say, the title of the song? When will it be out? What genre it is? Anyone you're working on with it? Did you write it alone? Is it a co-write? Just any of that that you're able to disclose at this point.
So the record is called Haunted, and it's a pop dance ballad type record, like a Justin Timberlake vibe. And I kind of got inspired by Mirrors a little bit. I was really feeling that record. And I linked up with one of Britney Spears' writers, Mia Marie, and me and her co-wrote this song. She's going to be on the song and parts of it as well. And I'm excited about the song because, one, it has a really good feeling and a good vibe to it. People think Haunted like a scary record. No, this is like a love song, relationship record. This is going to be a big record. And as far as the release, I'm probably going to be more towards mid-July, end of July. The record's in the works. Like I said, it's a big record, and I don't want to rush records. I don't like rushing records if I don't have to rush a record. You know, I like the whole creation process from start to finish. And the inspiration of the record, like I said, it has a JT vibe, and I want to bring that sound out into me more so. I mean, of course, keep it myself, but I'm saying it has that JT feel. So fans are, you know, fans are fans of JT. They'll be fans of me with the vibe that I'm going in the direction I'm going with this record, because it's a really, it's a strong, heartfelt record. It's just not your everyday song. So it's very powerful. I think they're going to love it.
See, I'm inclined to ask you, where do you normally record? But it might not be the same answer as if I was to ask you where this song is being recorded.
That's a good question, because I was going to cut the song in Nashville, but I don't think I'm going to have time to cut it in Nashville when I'm down there. Let's just say I'm going to do the record between New York, New Jersey, and Virginia. I'm probably not going to cut it in Nashville because I won't have the time to, due to the CMA Fest of me performing meet and greet and, you know, visiting Nashville. I think that's going to be too much on my plate at one time while I'm down there. Not saying I can't do it, because I've did it. I mean, I've been in the studio for 12 hours, got up the next day on 4 hours of sleep, shot a movie for 17 hours, and then went to Miami and shot a music video all in, you know, 4 day time period. Whoa. Like literally. Right. And then I'll tell you, I slept for like a week after that.
<I'm> sure.
Not really, but it felt like I slept for a week. I just slept for 2 days straight. Because that's really hard work. But back to the song Haunted, I definitely don't want to give too much away on it, but it's going to be a smash. You know, it's going to be a smash, and it's going to be something that I want the fans to tell me what they think of the record. You know, I can't determine it, but I know everybody that's heard the co-write and everybody that's heard it love it.
Yeah, an audience, that's all the more reason to follow Lucky on social media if you're not doing so already. Obviously, we'll be posting when it is being recorded, where it's being recorded. You'll get to see when he posts about the actual release date once that's determined. Meanwhile, as most people know, last year, for almost 4 months, there was a strike by SAG-AFTRA. One of the elements of that we heard about was the threat, my word, of artificial intelligence. Similarly, Lucky, you just took part in a Grammys on the Hill forum, which included talk of helping America's music creators, meaning, again, the topic of AI, and specifically the No Artificial Intelligence, Fake Replicas, and Unauthorized Duplications Act, which was introduced into Congress on January 10th. Lucky, as someone on both the acting and the music side, can you just shed some light on all of this as it relates to AI?
I mean, AI has really, I don't want to say too much, changed the film industry. It's really kind of hurt the film industry in a way. They're still going through contracts and trying to protect actors and certain protocols. But I mean, as far as AI, it's rapidly becoming a topic of conversation almost every industry. You know, there are many unknowns about the lasting impact it would have on the music community, but I feel like the policymakers in the United States Copyright Office ensure that our creativity as humans and musicians is the forefront of the copyright policy. So at the end of the day, you're protected through your copyright as an artist. So what I mean by that is no one can just take your song and put it in AI and think they're going to use it, because you're still copyright protected. So that's a big part of it. But I also feel like there's nothing like making art as a human creator, artist, entertainer, as there is with an AI robot. There's no comparison. There really is none. I mean, the frequencies might be different, stuff like that, but I'm just, there's no comparison. And I feel that, you know, there's still laws being worked in place to protect us as artists, you know? And I think it's still something new that they're working on, you know? But as far as with the acting, there were some bills and contracts being introduced to protect the actors as well. Like if they do a replica as us as actors, that we got to be compensated X amount of dollars, and we have to approve it before they can just do it. You know, they can't just say, oh yeah, we're going to, you know, make a replica of Lucky Harmon and put him in this new horror movie or this new action movie without his permission. No, there's protocols and there's compensation, and it has to be discussed. So I think that's good for the actors. But also, in certain ways, I don't agree with some of the AI for the acting and some for the music, because like I said, it's hard to replace an actual human being. There's no comparison to me as a person to AI. You understand what I'm saying?
Yep,
like, there's no comparison.
Yeah.
A person is a person, and a talent that is a talent. When it's making art, you can't make art and take that away from the creator by using AI. Do you get what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, because it's not unlike improv-ing, and, you know, as good as AI is getting, and it, you try to train it and it tries to get to know you, it does not know how you're going to react in a situation. So if you improv musically or acting-wise, that's just something within you. That's not something that can be taught to technology.
There you go. It's within you, and it's in your soul.
Exactly.
Technology is not from your heart and your soul.
Exactly.
And that's something you cannot fake.
Yep. And audience, I hope you caught the acronym when I mentioned the No Artificial Intelligence Fake Replicas and Unauthorized Duplications Act. It's the No AI Fraud Act. And as I mentioned, that was introduced into Congress on January 10th. On a lighter note, we heard about the single that you're working on. And another project for the audience to keep an eye out for is that you will be working on finishing a music video later on. Can you explain the status and the timeline of that project?
Oh, yeah. Wild Card. So I'm actually halfway done filming the Wild Card music video. I have to get the footage of Lil Wayne, and then I have to edit that. And then once that's done, then I can, you know, put that video out and release that for Wild Card, because, you know, everybody's seen a cartoon video, so, you know, I got to give them the actual video. It's just taking a lot of time and investment and scheduling. That's really what it boils down to. So the video is going to be amazing, because going back to Las Vegas with Wild Card, when I came up with Wild Card, I actually, you know, me and the team that I worked with, I got inspired by Las Vegas, because Lucky likes to gamble every now and then. So you put Las Vegas in there. So I actually did the music video, and I'll give you a hint. I put some casinos in there. We'll leave it at that.
Okay. Well, and it's easy to see with all the things that you're talking about, with going to Nashville for CMA Fest, with finishing up the new single. Of course, the work has begun on the Wild Card video, but it just takes a while because you're juggling so many things. There's the acting work, so many different things that you're trying to get done, that the Wild Card video will come. But folks, I'm going to say it again, it's all the more reason to follow Lucky online so that you can see what he posts on social media in terms of updates for that. We are going to close today with that song. I had mentioned it back in the intro. Lucky did this featuring Lil Wayne, and it's the song you just heard him talking about the music video for, called Wild Card. But before I do that, Lucky, can you not only share with the audience all about this song, but tell us, of course, how you got the opportunity to have Lil Wayne featured on one of your songs?
This is a long, long story, but I'll tell you this. we're in the pandemic. It's 2020. I'm looking for a new record. I wasn't under a label no more. And I'm trying to figure out, like, it's time to come back out with some new music. So a producer reached out to me in LA, and I was talking to a producer, and we were just talking about some songs. And he's like, you know, Lucky, you know, you've had success and you got great music. Is there any artist that you would love to work with in the music industry? And I'm like, there's so many different artists, you know, so many. And there's just Justin Bieber, or Timberlake, Lil Wayne, Eminem, Usher, you know, Pitbull, so many different artists. And he's like, well, who would you like to work with if I could, you know, get you a feature? And I'm like, that's a tough question, you know? So I'm like, Lil Wayne, he's the GOAT. So we were talking it over, blah, blah, blah. And then the next thing you know, I got in contact with him and his management, and we put it together.
Wow.
But the thing was, is like everybody was in COVID. So I'm here in Jersey cutting my part. Lil Wayne's in LA. A different producer in LA built the beat for me. And then when I was on the phone with the producer, the one on the beat, I was like, dude, I want you to put a little guitar on the top of it. And I was like, I heard this guitar in my head, and I'm like, this is wild. Like, I'm hearing this guitar, and he's like that or like this? I'm like that. So we worked on the phone and on Skype, like remote, like on FaceTime for like at least 4 months. But the song from start to finish took almost a year to come together. He sent me the beat first. I got the feature from Lil Wayne. Then I went in the studio and cut my part. Then I mixed it from my guy in Jersey. Rough mix. Then I sent it to South Africa, who Justin Bieber's Mastercraft, the producer's name is Mix Peaches. So he mixed Wild Card. And then after he mixed it, then I sent it to Atlanta and got it mastered by Sing Mastering, Colin Leonard, right? Then I got some artwork through a little clip up, and I didn't like the artwork. So then I had to go back to some other artwork. So then I had to get the paperwork, and then I got some more paperwork. Then I sent it to the copyright. Then I had to register the song. So I'm like, man, when is this song coming out? You know? So really, it took about a good year to put that song out.
And tell us what the song is about, even though we're going to play it in its entirety and I'm not going to talk over it.
So Wild Card is really about you get wild in Vegas. Wild Card, you're having fun with your friends and you're wilding out, just having fun. You're gambling. You're at the pool parties, having fun, you know, Wild Card, you know? It's really like it is, Wild Card. You're wilding out, having fun, but you're in Vegas, Wild Card. Get it? Because you're gambling.
Absolutely.
They call it Wild Card. So that's really what I came up with it. And when me and the producer and the co-writer came up with it, I seen girls in like cocktail dresses, and I seen the Vegas casinos, and I seen all the slot machines and the pools and the palm trees. Like, I seen it. I seen all of that, and I still see it. And I see a lot of bright lights with it. And it's just like, there's no record like it. And it's different because I'm a pop artist and I'm mixing the twist of hip hop with pop. You know what I mean? With having Lil Wayne on there really just gave the record some edge, you know, because it's pop with hip hop. So it puts some swag behind the record. And it's definitely a good vibe record. I'll be performing the record in Nashville as well. So I'm hoping everybody likes the record. And I'll definitely be performing it at the CMA Fest. It's going to be fun.
And I cannot wait to see the music video now that you've given us the description that you just did. In the meantime, Lucky, so wonderful to finally meet you. Thank you for making time to be on Now Hear This Entertainment. It's going to be exciting to see all these projects that you're working on. And I appreciate you making time to be on the show.
I appreciate you for having me on the show. And guys, please, please make sure you follow this podcast. Follow me on Instagram at The Real Lucky Harmon. My Spotify is Lucky Harmon. Please follow me. My TikTok, The Real Lucky Harmon. Twitter is Real Lucky Harmon. And, you know, check out my Spotify and stay tuned for that new song, Haunted, because it is going to be crazy. I'm telling you.
I'm going to give you all those again right now because I am going to wrap up another new episode of Now Hear This Entertainment with my sincere thanks to singer, songwriter, recording artist, and actor Lucky Harmon. Do visit his official website at TheRealLuckyHarmon.com. Again, I will have a link to it on the show page for this episode on my podcast website, nhte.net. Do engage with him on social media. There are links on his website to these. Approximately 24 hours ago, I followed him on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And as you just heard, he would certainly appreciate you doing the same. You heard him talking about the music video. Be sure to subscribe to his YouTube channel and then watch and like the videos on there. It bears repeating that he is also on TikTok, so follow him on there too. For that matter, tell Lucky that you heard him and his music and Now Hear This Entertainment. Speaking of his music, purchase downloads from Apple Music and other online digital music retailers. Give him a follow on Spotify. And remember, if you are or will be in Nashville, Lucky will be on hand for CMA Fest June 6th through the 9th, so make plans to go see him there. I do truly hope that you like this show, that you're enjoying what I'm doing every week on the Now Hear This Entertainment podcast. If you've made it all the way to the end, thank you for having stuck with Lucky and I, and I'm going to assume that that means that you do like the podcast. You can take action to let me know that you appreciate the work that I do to keep making this show happen every week, every month, more than 10 years without missing once, by going on my podcast website, nhte.net. and then using the yellow Buy Me a Coffee logo that you will see there. This is not a sponsor. It's not affiliated with any brand or chain. It's just a fun way for you to send your support, your thanks to me, including a note that I will see when you utilize that option. You can also just head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BruceW. That's going to do it for episode 536. Thanks ever so much for listening. I'll send you out today with another song from Lucky Harmon. This is the one he just talked about. It features Lil Wayne and is called Wild Card.
Oh my, you wild card. You and I light up the dark. Oh my, you wild heart. Don't know how the night would end. Yeah. Oh my, you wild card. You and I light up the dark. Oh my, you wild heart. Don't know how the night would end. But I'm here for ya, here for ya. Whatever you wanna do, cause I'm here for ya, here for ya. Yeah, you're my wild card. Here for ya, here for ya. Whatever you wanna do, cause I'm here for ya, here for ya. Yeah, you're my wild card.
Yeah, I'm out wildin', baby, pray for 'em. Don't cry for 'em, wait for 'em. Keep the lights on. I'm out wildin', baby, pray for 'em. Don't cry for 'em, wait for 'em. Keep the lights on. Have them clothes off, bitch, it's been a long day. Tomorrow morning, back at it, bitch, first thing. Have them clothes off, bitch, it's been a long day. Tomorrow morning, back at it, bitch, first thing. Give me 100 bricks and I'm out of here. Word to Holly Grove, I'ma get 'em out of here. Give me 100 bricks and I'm out of here. Word to Holly Grove.
You're my wild card. Oh my, you're wild card. You and I light up the dark. Oh my, you're wild heart. Don't know how the night would end. You're my wild card. Here for ya, here for ya. Whatever you wanna do, cause I'm here for ya, here for ya. Yeah, you're my wild card. Never had to doubt you. You were all I need. I'll hold you down long as you always keep it wild for me.
But I'm here for ya, here for ya. Whatever you wanna do, cause I'm here for ya, here for ya. Yeah, you're my wild card.
The night would end.